to. That is the most important thing you can think about in your whole life, children, how you treat Jesus. And actually, mums and dads and carers and friends here today, how we treat Jesus, because it's important for us to think about this too, is one of the most important things. And whenever you read a parable, there's often areas where the parable maps onto different aspects of our lives, and we're going to try and work that through as we go. And there are three things we're going to see in our story today where there is, honestly, some sad stuff, some sad parts of the story, and there are some happy parts of the story. And here's our first point. Some people say no to Jesus. Some people say no to Jesus. Now, boys and girls and mums and dads and carers, is that a happy part of the story? Or is that a sad part of the story? What is it? It's a sad... Everyone, let's stick our thumbs down. This is a sad part of the story. Thanks, Ad. You can keep it nice there. That'd be brilliant. Thank you. And if you haven't got a Bible open, page 1017 is where the Bible passages are. And we're going to basically walk through the passage again. And Jesse's going to read out the passage for us. And we're going to stop and explore what this means for us as we go. So get your Bibles open. It's page 1017. And we're going to listen to the story of the parable of the tenants, the people who looked after a certain piece of property. Thanks, Jess.
Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it. Dug a pit for the wine press and built a watchtower.
In this story, I'm going to play the role of the farmer who's building his, the owner of a vineyard. And in Bible times, various plants, like today, meant different things in reality. Now, if the Bible had said an owner had a field and planted a load of daffodils, what kind of country do you think he would be talking about? Maybe some leeks as well, loads of daffodils. What country would that be? Anyone know? Not France, no. But what do you think? Wales, yes, so daffodils means Wales. Okay, if it was a bunch of red roses planted all the way across the field, what country would that be representing? Anyone hands over the back there? England, thank you very much. So red roses means England. Well, in Bible times, a vineyard meant Israel. And so when it says that an owner planted a vineyard, it's telling us that that somebody once upon a time prepared a plot of land called Israel, and this is referring to God. See, God is the owner in the story. He's the one who has given a plot of land to the people, and it's a picture of God creating and providing for his people, Israel. And then this is what happens to the story. So thanks, Jess. Let's carry on.
Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers.
Okay. Now, the farmers here in our story, they represent, or the tenants, as they're sometimes called, they represent the leaders of God's people, Israel, and they are responsible for leading the people to follow God. And that's what they were responsible for doing.
And then he moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard.
Now, God wanted his people Israel to produce fruit. And the people Israel were called to produce fruit. And so he sent prophets. They're the servant in the story. People like Ezekiel or Jeremiah or John the Baptist to speak to God's people. But what happened to them in the story?
But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them, they struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. he sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others, some of them they beat, others they killed.
So, boys and girls, mums and dads, is this a happy part of the story? No, it's a sad part of the story. It's very, very sad to read it in the Bible. It explains the truth that God's people, Israel, were supposed to love God and to bear fruit for them, like the people in the story. But actually, rather than loving God and loving the owner and providing for them, they rejected the servants. It's a very, very sad part of the story. But do you know what, children? The story gets even sadder. That's the owner.
Had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him. They threw him out of the vineyard.
Okay, children and mums and dads and carers and friends here today, who do you think the son in the story represents? Can anyone think who the son in the story represents? Yeah, Kiel. Jesus, thank you. Now, what did the people do to Jesus? Did they honour him? Did they love him? Did they care for him? Did they see, here comes the son of the owner? We must honour, we must love Jesus. No, they killed him. And the passage, friends, today makes it really, really clear. Listen to this. That they didn't kill the son despite the fact he was the son, but because he was the son, because they knew exactly who he was. It's a very, very, very sad part of the story. But even more sad, boys and girls and mums and dads and carers and friends, because it's true. It's a true story. The Jewish leaders rejected Jesus. They said no to Jesus. Let's see a thumb down, everyone. They said no to Jesus. It's even sadder, boys and girls, mums and dads. Listen in, everyone. Listen to this. Because some people say no to Jesus today. Even today. You know, we can say no to Jesus when we ignore what he says in the Bible. We can say no to Jesus, boys and girls, when we disobey mummy or daddy, and when they tell us to not be unkind or to share things, but we are unkind and we don't share things. In fact, all of us, whether we're young or old, say no to Jesus when we worship other things other than him, and we love and we obsess over things that are not the same as Jesus. We worry over what people think of us. We worry over how our sports teams do. We obsess over what we're going to spend our money on. And every time we do all of those things, we are saying no to Jesus. It's a very sad part of the story, but I have to tell you, friends, it's going to get even sadder. It's going to get even sadder because if some people say no to Jesus, that's our first point. The second point is God says no to people who say no to Jesus. Now, is this a happy part of the story or is this a sad part of the story? It's a sad part of the story. Let's see some thumbs down. It's a very sad part of the story. I promise we've got a happy ending coming. We sing lots of happy songs about how wonderful Jesus is here at Highfields, and we believe that. But this is a hard thing I need to say. So let's look at our passage again. Thanks, Jess.
What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others.
Boys and girls, mums and dads, carers and friends, you see why this is a sad part of the story. You see, the owner, remember, represents God. The son represents Jesus, and the tenants and the farmers represent those leaders of God's people who say no to Jesus. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that God is just, he is good, he is perfect, and he wants people to love Jesus because Jesus is good and just and perfect. He loves Jesus so much that when Jesus is rejected, he does not want that. And the same is true today, friends. You see, if we live our lives always and only all of our days saying no to Jesus, then one day God is going to say no to us too. And I hate to say it, but I have to say it, boys and girls, mums and dads, friends and carers. For God to say no to us is a very, very sad and serious thing. Because God made us. God loves us. He loves the world he's made. And he wants us to spend eternal life with him and his son Jesus in heaven when we die. He wants that. But if we've said no to Jesus all of our lives, then one day he'll say no to us. And he'll say no to us entering heaven. We won't be able to enter heaven if we've said no to him all of our lives. It's a really sad thing to have to tell you that. But I have to because Jesus has said it to me. But I'm saying it because Jesus doesn't want that to be the case. He wants us to find life and forgiveness, which is why the passage goes where it doesn't. It's a very strange ending to the passage. We've seen some people say no to Jesus. We've seen God says no to people who say no to Jesus. But here's our third point. God used people saying no to Jesus to say yes to us. So let me try and explain what I mean. God used people saying no to Jesus to say yes to us. Now, this is where the passage is slightly strange. Let me, in our Bibles, it talks about these various stones. Did you see that? So, Jess, can you read out that first bit of verse 10, please?
Haven't you read this passage of Scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
If you are a builder, like I've been in the story, and you built a wall, often in a building site, the builders look for stones that might look good. Imagine they found a stone that didn't look very good. It didn't seem to fit in. This stone doesn't look very good. I don't really want this stone. And I threw it away. That's a bit like what they did to Jesus. They saw Jesus. They thought, we don't like the look of Jesus. He doesn't fit in with what we want to do. And they tried to throw him away. And do you know when they threw him away, what did he do? He died on the cross. He died on the cross because the people tried to throw him away and get rid of him. But God is so amazing. God is so brilliant. God's love is so big that he used the people throwing Jesus away as a way of rescuing us. Because just as Jesus died on the cross, Jesus paid for all the times we say no to God. He took them on himself. He took the blame for all the wrong we do. And then 3 days later, he rose again into new life, meaning that we can get to know him. And so that stone that the people had rejected, and they thought, ha-ha, we've got rid of Jesus. Actually, to God, the Lord Jesus has become central to his plan. Can you carry on the reading, please, Jess?
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
So the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus, you see, is the center of our lives, like the center of a building. He holds the whole building up. He's the means by which we can get to know God ourselves. So what have we seen today? We have seen some people say no to Jesus, and we say no to Jesus all the time in loads of different ways. We've seen that God says no to people who say no to Jesus. That's a really serious and a sad thing to say, but the really happy part of the story today is to say that God used people who say no to Jesus to say yes to us. As when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all our wrongdoing, which means we can know God through him. And that's true whether you're an adult like me or whether you're a child. You don't need to be an adult like me. You don't need to have lost all of your hair or all go grey. You can have lots of hair. You can have no hair. You can be very old. You can be very young. As you see, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for what you did for me. Thank you that you died on the cross so that I can know you. And do you know what, boys and girls, mums and dads, we love telling whole church family members about Jesus. And if you say a prayer and you mean it, then Jesus will forgive you. Here's a prayer I've put up on the screen. Dear God, sorry for saying no to Jesus. Thank you that because he died and rose again, you can say yes to me. Please forgive me and change me and help me to live for you from now on. Now, if you say that prayer, and if you mean that prayer, then God will hear that prayer, and he will forgive you, and he will change you, and he'll invite you into his home. So I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes, and I'm going to say this little prayer now. And if you want to pray that prayer in your heart, you're very welcome to pray it too. And maybe afterwards, if you have said that prayer, maybe tell mommy or daddy or a friend who brought you here today. And we'd love to talk to you a bit more about what it means to know Jesus. So let's close our eyes, and I'm going to say this prayer. And if you want to echo it in your heart, you can. Dear God, sorry for saying no to Jesus. Thank you that because Jesus died and rose again, you can say yes to me. Please forgive me and change me and help me to live for you from now on. Amen. Jesus is strong and he's kind and he loves to tell us the truth. And sometimes the truth is quite sad news. We would much rather not hear the sad news, but we need to hear the sad news in order to understand the happy news that we can know him.